It's the right move, but I feel for Montgomery, it's not his fault. It's on the players and it's on the management. And for that reason, nothing's going to change.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. I hope everybody's having a good Wednesday. It's an impromptu podcast, Tim, because we had some news drop yesterday evening, and your team, the Boston Bruins, fired their coach, Jim Montgomery. And it's funny, when they were playing the Columbus Blue Jackets on Monday, we were texting back and forth. We were talking about Mathieu Olivier, loved what he was doing. And as the game progressed, I texted you. I said, this will be the last game for Jim Montgomery. He's done. And sure enough, they had a scheduled practice on Tuesday, canceled the practice. Usually not a good sign. When there's smoke, there's usually fire. And the fans have been clamoring for him to be fired or something to happen with this organization. And sure enough, was he fired last night?
Last night, yeah.
Cam Neely let him go. The Boston Bruins have gone in a different direction. They've promoted Joe Sacco, my former coach, to the interim head coach. And I want to know how you feel about this, Tim. So yeah, the floor is yours.
This is, like you said, impromptu episode. We have Lomberg coming on in a few hours. I think we're going to push that to Friday so we can talk about this. Almost an emergency podcast.
Emergency.
Yeah. Emergency press release. Basically, okay, I'm going to talk about this in two formats and in two main areas. The first is the immediate response to the firing. So let's start there. And this is a weird situation because this was the right move. Even though it wasn't his fault, this was the right move. Something has to change. We've been talking about this the last few weeks. There's not a lot of new information here if you've been listening, but the Bruins have been struggling. And not just that they've been losing, it's the lack of effort. And they get behind and they stay behind. They don't push back. They're not beating the teams they should beat. It's one thing you lose to Florida and New York and Carolina and you're like, dang, we're not as good as those teams. That's a bummer. But you're getting blown out at home to Columbus, where the fans are booing you after this has been a problem. So something had to change, obviously. You don't have the pieces on the roster anymore that you can trade to send a message. Jake DeBrusk is gone. Matt Grizzlick is gone. Taylor Hall is gone. All the guys that you would like blame stuff on when things weren't going your way are gone. And so you don't have those easy pieces to move. You're not going to move a bigger piece like a Pasta or Marchand, a McAvoy, Carlo, Lindholm, whatever, you know, willy-nilly. Like, that's just not something to do to get the team out of a slump. That's not, they're too important for that. Not that they can't be moved, and that's a whole other topic, but so you had to do something. You had to fire the coach. It's the only thing that made sense. I don't think it's his fault, and we're going to get into that, but something had to change, and that's the thing that has to change. It's unfortunate for Monty that it feels like he was given, he's the scapegoat of this whole thing. He's given the raw end of the deal because he's done enormously well. He's, like Cassidy before him, he was basically the winningest coach in the regular season in his tenure here. Mm-hmm. And the Bruins now have fired two Jack Adams winners in the last 4 years and three in a row going back to Claude Julien, all under Cam Neely's leadership, if you want to call it that. And there's so much here to unpack, and it's really unfortunate. But Montgomery is a great coach. He's going to land somewhere else, maybe as soon as this year. There's other coaches, Detroit, Lalonde, Sullivan in Pittsburgh. There's other coaches who will probably get moved, and Montgomery could go in. Similar to Cassidy, we wish him all the best. There's no hatred. There is no malcontent, anything like that.
Well, there can't be because he came in from Dallas. He got let go from Dallas in just cloudy circumstances. We found out later he had, you know, an alcohol problem. He sorted himself out and got a second chance with the Boston Bruins and made the best of it. His first year, he sets the record for most points in NHL history.
Right.
Win the President's Trophy. Like, that's your first year. He signed a 3-year deal when he came in with the Bruins. So that was his first year. Last year, obviously did okay, lost in the second round to the Florida Panthers, beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. So there was success. The big thing was losing in the first round after winning the President's Trophy. But all accounts, that's not the coach's fault when you have such a great regular season. So it's an interesting firing based on the player turnover, the salary cap situation, and just the overall talent level that this team has. I don't know what the expectations are in Boston, but it seems like they might be setting the bar too high. and they're not living in reality where, okay, we have a good team, but we're nowhere near competing for a Stanley Cup. And I think everybody can see that on the outside. And I don't know what the culture is like on the Bruins. I know they're used to winning, but boy, oh boy, like, what do you expect? They're 500. Yeah, they're in a little bit of a lull right now. They're not playing well. They're still well within a playoff hunt. They're a couple points out of third place, for Pete's sake, in the Atlantic Division. So I don't know what kind of message this sends to the players. I know Joe Sakic will be a different type coach, Tim, but this is...
Sacco.
Joe Sacco, sorry. I don't know if this is a great move from Cam Neely.
No, he had to change something. And I feel bad for Montgomery because he's done basically what you've asked him to do. And he's done more, even, like you said, setting that record in his first year. And then what we all thought last year would be a huge step back. And he was still a really good coach with a really good team. And then all these details are coming out. Like, one of the reporters yesterday said he was never allowed to hire his own staff. It was always Neely's picks. And it was, what's his name's picks, the GM. And so...
Sweeney.
So, like, you're not giving him full control. You're giving him a roster that's losing some of its best in players, not only on the ice, but like the leadership core, Bergeron, Krejci especially. And then Tuukka, mm-hmm. would even throw in that group. But like, they were the stalwarts. They were the North Stars that were leading everyone through. And they just, when things were rough, you had those voices in the locker room. You don't have them anymore. And so he's not allowed to hire his own staff. You're not giving him much control over the roster. And he tries to hold the players accountable. And you've seen these a lot, including the other night, but certainly early in the season, these spats with Marchand on the bench where they're yapping at each other. You've seen him take McAvoy off the power play. You've seen him bench Pasternak. He's trying to get something out of his players, and it's not working. And the fact that it's not working after moments like that, after your arguably three best players, means it's about the players and not the coach. And so I think this is a message to the team, obviously, that they're not going to stand for this. But like I said, for the reasons I already mentioned, you couldn't move the players. It had to be the coach. And then the problem is you bring in Sacco, who's been the assistant coach for a few years, and they're saying he probably the kick in the butt that these guys needed. What can you expect from him that's any different from Montgomery? Like, it's the same system. It's the same players. Maybe you see what you always see when there's a coaching change, where there's like a week or two of guys skating a little harder, working a little harder. The practices are probably going to be a little bit different. The skates will be different. And then it always regresses to the mean with a few exceptions. And I don't know that maybe Sacco can be that exception, but I don't think replacing him in-house is really enough of a move that you can expect much from the players. You know, by the time Christmas comes around, they're probably back where they started.
Yeah, they're not going to all of a sudden change your systems. He might put different players in different spots, but it'll be the relatively same systems. And it's not like you're bringing in a new guy from outside. Sacco's been there for a few years now, so the players are used to his voice. So I don't see this being a huge difference on the ice. This screams to me, and I'm not going to, you know, just dump on what you have come in here, but it just screams to me that Neely and Sweeney are just grasping at straws and trying to save their job. They're doing anything in their power to deflect, prolong their tenure in Boston. They've been there for over a decade now, Cam Neely. I don't know how long Don Sweeney's been there. It seems like a long time.
Sweeney, 10 years. Neely goes back to 2007.
Long time. They are just trying whatever they can to just hold on to their positions. You fired three Jack Adam Award winners. You've had a President's Trophy. No playoff success. This is indicative of a problem around the NHL, a bigger problem of just teams hiring former players, Hall of Fame players, huge, you know, following in the community. It's hard to fire them. It's hard to get away from them. So, you know, who else do you get? Bruce Cassidy left, wins the Stanley Cup. Jim Montgomery has a winning record. It was over 700 for Pete's sake, his winning record, 120, 41, and 23. Pretty damn good.
Yeah. So this speaks to the bigger problem. So the first one is just Montgomery itself. It sucks. I feel for the guy, and it's not his fault. It's the player's fault, but you had to make a change. It is what it is, and not surprising. We have known this was coming for a couple of weeks. The bigger problem, and this is probably where we'll spend our time right now, is the Bruins culture issue. It starts at the top, and I think there's a lot to be said for Neely and Sweeney. This is the third Jack Adams winning coach they fired, right? And you've talked about this and with other teams, like, you don't get to fire multiple coaches as a GM. Like, you maybe get two, and after that, like, they clean house and start over. And here it is, he's firing third, and not only third, but third winning. Claude Julien won the Jack Adams. Cassidy on the Jack Adams and now Monty. And so this is like, it's rotten. And Sweeney has drafted one player that's on their roster, and that's Pastrnak. Not one player total, but there was like a span from 15 to 19 or something like that. Like, there's not enough talent. There's not enough. They've done really poorly at the drafts. They were screwed before that too with Peter Chiarelli. But so you don't have the talent. You don't have the pipeline. You've been so good for so long that you haven't had a lot of high draft picks, and the ones that you have haven't hit. Obviously, we all talk about 2015 and that debacle of a draft. But there's a culture problem with this team. And we criticize so much of the other teams, including the Leafs, including teams like it. We're like, this core doesn't have it. This is not the group. We said that about the Canucks. We said it about the Canucks, but the Senators Leafs. Too, like not taking Sens. A step forward, mm-hmm. right? And now you've got Bergeron's gone, Krejci's gone, and now Pastrnak and Marchand and McAvoy, they're the guys, and it's just not working. And I think last year, I know they were gone last year, but last year you had Maroon and Shattenkirk and JVR and some other veterans, Danton Heinen even, that softened the blow, that made it just hurt a little bit less that you didn't have those guys that you were missing on and relying on for so long, even Foligno. And now you just don't have those players anymore, and you're not seeing it. And it's weird because I wouldn't have expected this. I would have thought, okay, because everyone who plays with Pastrnak just talks about how hard he works and how amazing of a guy he is and a great friend, a great teammate. He's outspoken. He's selfless, all these things. Same for McAvoy. We know what Marchand's capable of, and yet something about this isn't working. And so I think, yes, there's a problem with the coaching. They make that change. It's not going to change a whole lot, because this group just does not have a certain X factor leadership quality that you need. And I think the stats show that.
I think you guys have just been spoiled. Honestly, I think that's what it boils down to, is the expectations are, you know, Stanley Cup or bust every single season. And you had that option, that opportunity every single year for a good 12 years. Well, when you look back at the rosters, yeah. It was every year that, but now that's not the expectation, or it should not be the expectation. I think you guys are just having a hard time coming to terms with that.
Well, yeah. And then if that's true, then all of a sudden the Lindholm and Zadorov contracts are horrible. Now you can say they're already bad because they haven't quite lived up to that. But again, it's 20 games out of 4 years. You know what I mean? So, like, there will be times when Zadorov is worth it and Lindholm plays really well. And so I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the bigger picture of, if you weren't competing and if you were honest with yourself about where this team was headed, you don't make those contracts at all. And all of a sudden, like, you don't have a single center that can drive a line. Not one on this whole roster, in this whole organization. And maybe you thought Patois could be that guy, but they're not even giving him a shot. That's one thing that I'm hoping comes out of this, is that Sacco brings him up. Because he's barely playing in Providence right now, which is really bizarre. So I want to see him get a bigger chance. But back to the question on topic. Yeah, I have a hard time admitting that I was wrong, or that the Bruins shouldn't be going after a cup. When you have Pastrnak, when you have McAvoy, Swayman, you have the horses at every position, and you've got some depth pieces. And I thought maybe you could cobble together a pretty good season, and maybe you make a move at the deadline, maybe not, and you can't compete for the cup every single year. And so every year that you don't win the cup can't be a disappointment, because 31 teams don't. But I didn't think we were going to be this bad. And so this is the part where, like, where do you go from here? You're stuck with these guys. And like, you, there's no situation in which you trade McAvoy and your team gets better. But it feels like he's plateaued. It feels like he's a guy that is just not a points producer. And that's okay if you're like a Jacob Slavin type, where you're like, you're a number one center who doesn't put up points, except he's the best in the league at shutting down other players. And McAvoy's a little bit better offensively, but not as good defensively. And he's not in that top three, top five range that we thought he was going to be. It feels like he's hit a plateau, and maybe that has to do with his D partner. Maybe that has to do with the system. Maybe the coach changes everything. Maybe I'm being overly pessimistic and Sacco revitalizes this team and they win 5 out of the next 7 and they're back in it. But things are pretty bleak right now.
Yeah. It's a weird position for an organization to be in, because you, like you said, you have these pieces of a successful team, star goaltender, you know, a high end forward, I like McAvoy. I think he's really good. I think he plays hard. He's good in his D zone. He doesn't have the offensive upside of the all-star caliber players that you want him to be, the Foxes and the Cars and the OCs. You want him to be that guy. He's not. He's more of a hard-nosed guy, but I think he's really good.
Yeah, he's very good. And I have no problem with him being our number one defenseman, but it's more like adjusting expectations. Yeah. And you keep waiting for him to take that next step and you realize, what is he, 27, 28 now? Like
26.
26. There's not that next step coming. And maybe in the right situation, like you pair him with Hampus Lindholm on a really good team and both players play really well, like you saw 2 years ago. But McAvoy's not the one creating that situation. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, it's frustrating. I think the expectations are going to temper. I think hopefully, because you saw it, and this is what we know now. The Bruins leadership came to Sweeney a couple of years ago and wanted Cassidy out. Like, they asked for it. And it feels like they asked for it indirectly this time around. Like, when you don't compete, that's a reflection of what the coaches think, or the players think about the coach.
And you could tell, like, in the game on, what was it, Monday? They were not competing. The power play, they give up a couple shorthanded goals. There was no pushback in this team whatsoever. So that's a bigger question that I'm asking. It's like, what is going on with these players? You never give up. Like, you never just sell the coach down the river and say, okay, we want something new. That should never be in your vocabulary or mindset. So that's the bigger issue, is like, what's going on with Marchand and Boston, these guys, that is allowing this to happen? That scares me if I'm a Bruins player and a fan. And
wouldn't you say that we're past the point, like, we're too far in the season now that you can blame Swayman's struggles on missing camp? You know what I mean? Like, a few starts, a few weeks maybe, but now it's past that. Now he has to be better. Or do you think that's wrong? Do you think that could still be the case?
That Swayman's still finding his form?
Yeah. But like, it's
no, he's found it
next week, you know?
Yeah, no, he's had enough time. He's got enough reps. He should be where he needs to be. This team is not good. So I don't see them all of a sudden turning the corner. They have no good young prospects. Their offense is pedestrian at best.
Yeah.
Marchand's not the same guy he used to be. Lindholm hasn't worked out per se. Pasta's still incredible. But after Pasta, it's thin, Tim. It's very, very thin. No, Brazo might have a game where he stands out. Charlie Coyle has a few good shifts a game. It's thin. You know, they have a decent defense, but you're not going to score any goals. And we saw that last game versus the Columbus Blue Jackets. You were outplayed by the Blue Jackets.
You got dangled by Matthew Olivier, which, hey, yeah, all respect to him, but that's not okay. And even like Coyle and Zaka last year, there was a huge storyline going into the season. Mm-hmm. How do those two guys manage, right? And they stepped up and they played really well. They outproduced the prior season from Bergeron and Krejci. You had great chemistry with Pasta and Marchand and DeBrusk and rotating fourth winger. And then you kind of like you get the sense that it took like every fiber of them. It took all of them to do what they did last year. And now they're like, oh wait, you need me to do that again? I can't. I gave it all. I lost part of myself doing what I did last season. I played above. I can't do that again. They're just not those guys, you know?
Well, just looking at their roster, and correct me if I'm wrong, their top six guys they have right now, on a good, good team, the only top six player is David Pastrnak. Marchand is not a top six guy anymore. I'm sorry. He isn't. He didn't play great last season. This season, he's good. Don't get me wrong. Don't take this the wrong way where I'm slighting him. Great player. His sweet spot right now is a third line guy on a power play. That's where I think he lives. Or put him on a second line with some really high end players. You're not getting high end play from Brazo or Lindholm or Frederick or Coyle, whoever you put next to him. The only first line guy they have, or top six guy, is David Pastrnak. And that's where we're at as an organization. And whose fault is that? That's Don Sweeney's. That's Cam Neely's. This firing falls directly at their feet. This isn't Montgomery's fault. He's trying to do what he can, making chicken salad out of chicken, you know. There's nothing there. You can't compete, especially in this league, if you don't have the horses, and they don't. Their drafting has been atrocious. They have no prospects in the system. They trade away draft picks because they're consistently in the mix. I get that. But this is what happens in the salary cap era. You can't go out and sign stars. You have to kind of just lick your wounds and start again. And this is where I think the Bruins are wrestling with it. Do we lick our wounds and start again and ruin the prime of Swayman and Pasta and McAvoy? Or do we try to cobble together around them and build a team? Washington somehow did it. Can the Bruins do it too? I don't know. Right now, they're not.
If you look at like projecting the next 10 years of any team, the worst case scenario is being just missing the playoffs, right? Like it's the worst pick of a non-playoff team.
So that's Pittsburgh Penguins for the last 4 years.
The second worst case scenario is being good enough every year to make the playoffs, to think you have a chance, to trade your first round pick at the deadline to go and get a piece and then not win. And that's what the Bruins have done for the last 10 years.
Yep.
That's like, and I mean, I know they're not alone in that, and there are a lot of teams that fit that category, but this is exactly where you don't want to be. And now you have all these contracts that you're like, how do we get out from under these? And it happens every year, and I don't know why this keeps happening with all these teams. Is how many times you see less than 2 months after they sign a free agent trying to figure out how to get out from under that contract? You see it every year. It's inevitable. And so right now it's us, and it feels like Lindholm and Zadorov. And I like those players, and I think Lindholm probably is a top six forward, but he's regressed every single season in a row since he had that 40-goal campaign 3-4 years ago. He's just not that guy right now. And Zadorov last year looked really good. I thought maybe playing with Lindholm or McAvoy would elevate his game or keep it at that level, and he's not looking great either. And so, yeah, I feel like we're saying the same things over and over again at this point. It's a culture issue. It starts with Sweeney. It starts with Neely. And until those guys are gone, nothing's going to change.
They won't be gone. Jeremy Jacob loves them. That's the thing. Point.
You can't fire three coaches.
You just did.
But you can't fire four. You know, like at some point, you have to read the tea leaves and know what's going on.
No, they botched a lot of negotiations for contracts. They're terrible PR people. They just are prickly. They come off as prickly in the press, and it's just getting worse and worse with Neely. He always seems like he's pissed off every time he comes to the mic. I don't know. They have another couple years. This seems like it is a Mark Bergeron situation with the Montreal Canadiens, where he just stuck around. No one knew why. And the Bruins somewhat have a good team. The Canadiens were a hot mess back then, and he managed to stick around for 2-3 more years past his prime. So I don't know. This is a big problem. And when we talked about it a few weeks ago, these guys get these jobs. It's a fun hire. Look at who we're bringing back to the family. Number 8, Cam Neely, his jersey's up there in the rafters. Isn't this great? What a great hockey player he was. Now he's going to be our president, vice president, everything. But how the hell we fire this guy? How do we do that? Because he's got a statue out front. How does that work? It doesn't. So good luck, because once they fire him, he's not going to want to come back and, you know, shake the hands and kiss the baby. So it's a really tough decision to be made. But you see three Jack Adam coaches, their heads are laying on the ground because of it. Take that, Boston Bruins. Get ready. The lean years are here, baby, because this is not going to get any better. There won't be any bump from this, Tim. I know you might think they might win 6 of the next 7 or go on a little hot streak. I don't see it. I don't think they're going to all of a sudden figure out how to play hockey. It's just, you are going to lose. Their next couple of games, they play Utah, Detroit, Vancouver, Islanders, Pittsburgh. So the opportunities there, Montreal, Detroit, they should win 6 of those 7.
Swayman is the thing for me. Like if he starts turning on, then maybe like you can get by those games. But yeah, there's no scenario in which they win a playoff round this year. None. If they even make the playoffs, which I think they probably could, which is the strangest part of all this, is that like they're still in the playoff hunt. You know what I mean? Like, is the worst case, like this nightmare, like alarm sounding scenario that we're living in right now as Boston fans, is a good season for a lot of other teams. And I think this has to do with tempering expectations.
No, yeah. The best case scenario is they lose, and they lose fast. You get rid of Sacco in the offseason and you retool and you figure out how to recoup some of those things you spent. You get rid of Zadorov. You try to cobble together an offseason, but they'll make playoffs. I firmly believe that. Just going through their schedule, they'll probably win 5 of the next 7. All will be right in the world. Then all of a sudden you hit December and you get past those cream puffs and you're like, okay, Winnipeg, Seattle, Vancouver, Edmonton, Washington, Columbus twice in a row, who we can't beat, Washington again. Then you lose 80% of the games in December. And it's like, well, we're back where we were at the end of November. So did you think you were going to be here, Tim? I thought this was last season.
Yeah.
But now yeah, we're here.
As is often the case, you're not wrong. You're just early. Same with the Ovechkin thing.
With a lot of things. Now he's hurt too, unfortunately.
I hate that.
It's a funny thing where I feel bad that he's hurt, but there's this selfish part of me. I'm like, nice.
Someone photoshopped Gretzky over Jack McBain's jersey. It's like he was the one who took him out to stop him from breaking the record.
That's funny. It was an incidental contract. I don't think McBain meant anything by it. No, they just tangled up. Then Wilson goes after him and fights him. But yeah, there's a little part of me, that little devil on my shoulder's like, sweet, might not get that record. He's out week to week. So that puts him maybe start of the new year. He's missing a good chunk of the season. I don't know. Do you think he gets the record this season? Because he's got, what, he's 26 away? 27
week to week
away?
Is so vague, you know? Like, that could be first week of December. It could be the first week of January, you know?
Week to week is vague. Answer my question. Does he get it this season?
Yes. I'm a believer. Just to put a pin in this, I know we're kind of all over the place right now, this Montgomery news, and it feels very raw. I was going to post a reaction video last night, and I couldn't find the words.
You're emotional. Fight through the tears.
Yeah, it sucks. But we'll see what happens when the smoke clears. Maybe go follow Ty Anderson. I've been reading everything he's been putting out, and he's putting out very, I think, clear and calm responses to what's going on, and he's getting his own sources. But it's the right move. But I feel for Montgomery, it's not his fault. It's on the players and it's on the management. And for that reason, nothing's going to change.
Every time you say it's not his fault, I always think of Good Will Hunting.
Not your fault.
It's not your fault.
Get out of here, man.
Don't. Not you.
Not you.
It's not your fault. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate the support. We will talk to you later. We're going to interview Ryan Lomberg in a few hours. So check that one out. I'm dropping it on Friday. Cheers, everybody.